Welcome to the Barrel Banter, a show covering all things Milwaukee Brewers. From trades to signings, player analysis to game recaps, or discussing uniforms, ballpark food, and everything in between. Here are your hosts, Peter and David Go.
Hello, Brewers fans. Welcome to the Barrel Banter. I'm your host, Peter Go, and we are here. David, we've made it to our final off-season episode. Or maybe we'll have one more, I guess. But this is our official preseason preview for season preview for the 2023 season. And man, I'm excited. This is probably the most excited I've been for an episode. On a scale of 1 to 10, David, 1 being the equivalent of Craig Counsell and 10 being the equivalent of, let's just say, Carlos Gomez's smile. How excited are you for the 2023 Brewers season?
That's a tough one. Who are the players in between?
That's on you. You were supposed to make that up on the spot. Okay. Major Morgan would probably be a close 9, maybe.
When he's not throwing his tobacco at Chris Carpenter.
That's a -8. There we go. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Zach Greinke's probably below the scale also.
Off the charts.
Yeah. Whoever the highest one would be, I would say.
Todd Coffey on an afternoon run.
Maybe. Or Craig Counsell after the Vogelbach Grand Slam. If you saw Counsell in the dugout, he had the biggest smile.
Yeah.
That would probably describe it.
There we go. That's the feelings going into the final week leading up to opening day. I'm excited. I will not be at opening day. Work gets in the way of that. But I will be there April 8th for the Giannis City Connect jersey, which I'm actually really excited to get my hands on one of those. And get a chance to see the Brewers. I'm pretty sure they're playing against the Cardinals too, so I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good run. What would you say?
Who are they?
Yeah, they're new to the division. They're an expansion team. Yeah. They're okay. Expansion. But in case you've been reading any MLB previews, they seem to be everybody's favorite team. Apparently, I'm not sure like what it is. I mean, I guess I do know that there are some parts to like about the Cardinals. I guess I'll admit that, but they certainly seem to be the favorite in the National League Central. I think everybody just has too short of a memory. Like they forget how good the Brewers were in 2021, or the fact that the Brewers are the Brewers. And during the Craig Counsell era, we've outperformed every year, but the Brewers won 95 games in 2021, followed it up, of course, with a disappointing 86 win season last year. But I think that everybody's taking way too much stock in last year, and last year did not go very well. And we won 86 games. So I don't know. We'll get more into that. I'll get off the soapbox now. We're going to skip random player of the day and trivia question today just to spend all of our time on the preseason preview. So a couple of news things to note here first, and some exciting ones too. Gus Varland, if you haven't already seen the videos of a couple players here that have made the Brewers team for the first time, those were pretty cool to see. I mean, I can't even imagine myself. I played baseball, obviously, all the way up until parts of college, and the amount of work that I put in my baseball career is very little compared to the amount of effort and time work that those guys put in year after year with no sure doubt they were even necessarily going to make it to the major leagues. And so really cool to see Gus Varland making the opening day roster. He was super grateful and really deserved it. I mean, Counsell said that in the video, like you pitched yourself here. You came in the spring and executed. He definitely did. And the other player being Bryce Turang, who I think was a bit of a surprise. He definitely was a surprise to both of us. We've been talking about that over the last couple of weeks. And we talked about Sal Frelick making the roster, Joey Weimer. And some of those are still a potential. We don't know exactly the exact final roster yet quite at this point here as we record on Tuesday evening. But I think Bryce Turang came as a pretty big surprise, but I'm also excited to see him play. And if he does get an opening day start, I saw on Twitter that I think he'd just be like the seventh Brewer ever to debut on opening day with an opening day start, which was really surprising me. A couple notable names, guys by the name of Paul Molitor, Robin Yount, also J.J. Hardy more recently. So those were the two big news on the fronts of guys making the team. So what were your reactions on Varland and Turang, and who are you more excited to see going into the year?
I'm really excited to see Gus Varland. Turang would be the easy pick. I mean, Turang probably has the brighter career in front of him. But what stood out to me was in those videos, you're mentioning how Varland was very grateful. And Varland was talking about, I can't remember if he was crying. I know Turang was crying about making it, but Varland said all the sleepless nights and the last 2 years not knowing what my future would be in baseball. I mean, if you think about it, or if you look at his stats, I guess nobody really memorizes his AA stats from the last 2 years, but he had an ERA over 6 last year between the rotation and the pen. And the year before, he had an upper 5s ERA, both in AA. So he repeated AA last year with the Dodgers, and the results weren't there. He was better as a member of the bullpen. He got better throughout the year. But still, I mean, you don't really know, as a 25-year-old, 14th round pick coming out of a Division II school, you don't know. I mean, you could get released really at any point. And who knows what would have happened if the Brewers hadn't selected him in the Rule 5 draft. But instead, he ends up earning his way onto the big league roster, making his presumably big league debut in that first series in Chicago. And it's really exciting as a fan. You mentioned that from a player's perspective, and I still play, I'm in college, and yeah, to think of all the work that they put in. He's 25. He was drafted after his junior year in 2018, 5 years ago, and I'm in my junior year here, and I feel like I've put in a lot of work into baseball. So to think about the amount of work and the amount of time and effort and all the things that go along with the minor league life, and to see that come to fruition is kind of the culmination of everything, especially for Varland, but I mean also for Turang. I mean, he still was in the minors for almost 5 years. He was a draft pick back in 2018 as a high schooler out of a California high school. So I'm more excited to see Varland, I would say, like, proportionately to the rest of people. But I think Turang has the brighter future ahead of him. But I am really excited about Varland. I do want to make that clear.
Yeah, loud and clear on that one. But it just reminds you, watching those videos, that it's easy just to see these as we're just fans and these are just players, but they're people. Like, the amount of work, like you said, both those guys have spent considerable time, a long time, especially with Varland, a little bit more of an uncertain future in the minors, more than Turang. But there's a lot of pressure, different pressure on each. Like you said, Varland any day could have been his last in the minor leagues. And Turang, he's got different pressure as a higher draft pick as well to perform. And I mean, the pressure doesn't end for him now, but at least the weight, I think one of them, it might have been Turang, said, I feel like a weight on my shoulders just went off. And part of that, I think, is just the pressure of whether or not he's going to make it. But there's also just that pressure of being a prospect and not wanting to fail and not wanting to be that prospect bust. Mm-hmm. You put me onto an article Mark Appel wrote on his own Substack about the emotions he felt after getting cut by the Phillies. And that was an excellent article. Great read. Maybe we'll share that out on Twitter, even though it's not Brewers related. It's just a really good article. And you don't get a chance to hear that level of depth from players normally. And so it was a really cool article. And just a reminder that, like I said, these guys are human, and they're more than just players on the field. So,
and in the same way, we were mentioning how it's so exciting to make it on the opening day roster, and it's the culmination of everything. But what makes it, I think, especially tough for someone like Varland is, think about another Rule 5 pick, the guy that we probably mentioned more on our show than anyone else, Colin Walsh. But he was very good in the minors, got picked in the Rule 5 draft. He was about 25, 26 years old, and he got about a month and a half in the big leagues and didn't perform very well. He did have a .317 on base percentage, but he didn't perform well enough to stay on the roster, and that was the only major league opportunity he got. So at the same time, these players know that they need to take advantage of every opportunity, especially a guy like Varland, who's not going to get that second or third look like Turang. Maybe they have very different expectations, and they both have pressure, but in a very different way.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I will say, not to disappoint David, but we did not receive Logan Schaefer in a trade for Luke Voit. I know we were talking about the potential of Luke Voit being traded. I was vehemently opposed to it. And the Brewers came through. They did not trade Luke Voit, and they instead re-signed Luke Voit to a one-year deal. So he'll be returning with the Brewers, likely as that platoon partner with Rowdy Tellez. Surprisingly enough, Keston Hira, we talked about, of course, a lot on the last episode, was kind of the Keston Hira goodbye podcast episode. And Keston cleared waivers. So we both figured a team would claim him. I'm really surprised that nobody wanted to take Keston. To me, there's definitely some upside.
His salary is, I think, $2 or $2.2 million. I mean, that's something, but it's not substantial. So I was very surprised. I mean, he was, if you don't look at the strikeout numbers, he was an above average hitter by OPS last year. So I'm surprised that, even though he didn't fit with the Brewers, really, I'm surprised he didn't stick with the Pirates or the Rockies or someone along those lines.
Yeah, Rockies would be probably a halfway decent fit. But yeah, I mean, we don't need to spend too much more time. But I guess there's a chance we'll see Keston back. Not sure how he'll fit in to the roster. But you also never know what happens with injuries, and so that could open up the potential. You've got the DH, of course, as well, which helps him. So. Here are clearing waivers, Voit being re-signed. And then finally, we talked about Adrian Hauser's injury literally live, actually, on the last episode. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, we talked about the potential injuries, and not even 5 minutes later, Adrian Hauser got injured mid-podcast episode. And so we still don't have an update on his status of whether he'll be ready for opening day or not. But we do know that Hauser is hurt and has the potential to be hurt. And we also talked about the Brewers probably have a little bit of an incentive to start him on the injured list because it gives them a chance to keep then Varland, as well as the three that we've been continually talking about, Javi Guerra, Yoel Piamps, and Bryce Wilson as well, to get a little bit of an extra glimpse at each of those guys before they make the final decision on who they ultimately keep. So anything else, David, that you want to mention on any of those pieces before we jump into our player prediction?
I think the Hauser scenario is one where if it was Woodruff who had this groin injury, that they'd probably keep him on the opening day roster, assuming he were healthy enough. I think Hauser, because we haven't heard anything about it, it probably isn't severe enough to keep him off the opening day roster if need be, but because of where his status is on the roster, I think he probably will be left off so they can get a little bit of extra time to audition the relievers, specifically Piamps, Guerra, Varland, and Bryce Wilson, that is. I think that's what they'll do. It kind of similar to how they used to in the 80s have 28 or 27 man rosters for the first month of the year, and then they go down to 25 at the beginning of May. So that I think that's kind of where the Hauser injury stands. I think because we haven't gotten an update, I don't know that it's extremely severe. I think we would have heard something by now, but I think it's more likely than not that he does begin the year on the injured list, more so because of the roster. We do have a lot of predictions for this episode. We've got predictions on players. We've got some bold predictions, and then our win total and where the Brewers place in the standings predictions. So we're going to start out with our breakouts and bounce backs. Who we predict is going to break out or bounce back. Spoiler alert, neither of us picked Jesse Winker, who was named in every single bounce back list. And every national media outlet has said the first thing when they look at the offense, well, which Christian Yelich are we going to get? Are we going to get the Christian Yelich of 2018-19? Which is, I think, just a lazy take. There's so many players you can talk about that the Brewers have that are good. There's William Contreras they got. There's Winker. They have some good players. They have Willy Adames. They have an excellent pitching staff. But Christian Yelich, of course, because he's the big name, is the one that they talk about. So no Christian Yelich in our breakout bounce back. We've kind of, I think, passed that period of time. We passed it. Probably this year is the first year that we can move past that. So to get started, Peter, who are your starter and who's your reliever who you predict as a breakout or bounce back arm for the Brewers?
Yeah, I think on the starting rotation, I would say my bounce back would be Freddy Peralta, which I think isn't necessarily a super uncommon one. It's hard to have Corbin Burnes or Brandon Woodruff break out or bounce back the way they've been pitching because they've just been so good. So they can't really break out too much further, and they can't bounce back from the excellence that we've seen from either of those guys. Lauer's been really consistent. So Freddie's really the X factor when it comes to the rotation. I am still up on Wade Miley as well. And the Brewers, of course, have depth in Hauser and Ashby and some others. But I really think Freddy Peralta is the X factor in determining, do the Brewers have the best rotation in baseball, or do the Brewers have a top five rotation in baseball? I think Freddy makes or breaks that. So that's who I've got on my rotation. And then in the bullpen, my I don't know if I'd probably call it more of a bounce back, really, at least in his time in Milwaukee. That would be Matt Busch. Of course, Brewers acquired him along with Taylor Rogers at the deadline. Matt Busch fared a little bit better than Taylor Rogers, but wasn't exactly excellent either in his time with the Brewers. Really got plagued with the long ball. But I'm excited to see him back. He's going to be a full season here in Milwaukee. Should have the eighth inning for the most part, as long as he can perform well. And really, Fangraphs has him projected for about 46 innings. His strikeout per nine numbers, they actually have dipping down a little bit, but pretty similar, close to 11 strikeouts per nine. They have his walk per nine going up as well, which is kind of interesting. But overall, it seems like Fangraphs actually isn't necessarily... They last year, Busch, 3.47 ERA across his time with the Brewers. I should say the whole season, 3.47 ERA, both teams. And they've got him projected for a 3.89 ERA. I actually have him going the other way. I think Busch is going to have a better year this year. I know he's older. I know he's an older arm, but he never really settled in to Milwaukee. And I think giving him more structure and that eighth inning role, we might see a more traditional eighth, ninth inning that the Brewers in some ways haven't really had. I guess Williams and Hader, but to some degree, they were decent, but they did have pretty defined roles. But that wasn't a super long time where we had Josh Hader as a one inning closer and Devin Williams as the eighth inning guy. But I think Busch and Williams can be a version of that for the Brewers this year.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing that people don't talk about with Matt Busch either is it was the first time he left the Rangers organization in what he was there for 6 years, I think, seven years.
He
first debuted. Organization that gave him a chance after his prison sentence.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He had been there for a while, and that was, of course, upended, and he moves to Milwaukee. So you never know how that can affect a player personally. That perhaps played a role. Short, like half-season relief stints are kind of fluky anyways. So I believe in his stuff. What? Fluky? Is it funny how I say that?
Fluky? I didn't know that was a word.
Yeah, it is. Fluky.
Okay. I'll take your word on it since you've
obtained or achieved more by chance than skill.
Okay. Freshman. There we go.
Synonym so, serendipitous or providential.
There we go. So on that note, David, who's your starter and who's your reliever?
My reliever is Gus Varland. I've already talked about him for some time, so I won't spend additional time talking about Augustus James Varland. But I will talk about Freddy Peralta because, like you had mentioned, like you had brought up as your breakout or bounce back, Freddy Peralta is a big X factor in this rotation. And the numbers that I want to lock in on are his expected ERA. So expected ERA is based on a combination of strikeouts, walks, and then how hard the ball was hit off of him. So that's what you want as a pitcher. You want to strike batters out. You want to limit walks, and you don't want them to hit the ball hard. His 2021 number was 2.66, and 2022 was 2.70. So essentially the same ERA, expected ERA for him. And then his fielding independent pitching, 3.12 in 2021, and 3.06 in 2022. And that generally is more stable than ERA is from year to year. So it's not like Freddie really was much different last year than he was the year before, aside from health, of course. The health was the question. But he hasn't really been somebody that has failed to be durable. I mean, he's a shorter pitcher. Do shorter pitchers get hurt more? I don't know. I know that's the stereotype. They're not as durable. But I don't know if that's really true. He threw 78 innings, so of course you would like him to throw more than 78. But even Fangraphs, with their zip projection, they have him projected for a 3.67 ERA, which would be higher than even last year, and a higher fielding independent pitching than he's posted since 2019. I don't know why their projections are so low on him. He's a bona fide major league, like, top end starter. I don't know if I'd say he's a one or an ace, but he's... I would say he's at best a fringe one to a two, maybe a one starter in quality, two starter in quantity is what I'd put him at his best. And at his worst, he's like a three starter. So I fully expect Freddy Peralta to bounce back. He's healthy. He's looked good apparently this spring. His fastball velocity is back up. It was down a little bit last year. And I don't think that there's really that much cause for concern on what his numbers were like last year. And he's still only entering his age 27 season. So he's still pretty young, should be entering the prime right now of a pitcher's career.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I second that. And I mean, think back to if Freddie was on any other Brewers team, just about any other Brewers team, he'd be the ace and the most exciting pitcher. And he's in some ways the third most interesting. Yeah, it is. It's really kind of puzzling to me that the projection systems show him with that performance. I understand last year he was hurt. And I didn't like a lot of the larger national media. We've been talking about them, kind of bashing them a little bit on the Yelich stuff and the Winker stuff. They rightfully so talk about Peralta as kind of the difference maker, which is not surprising. But the thing that bothers me is they're acting kind of like he had a bad year last year. He didn't necessarily have a bad year last year. He was hurt. Like, I mean, otherwise he was fine, and he gave up the home run late in the season. I don't know if that one home run that he gave up played a larger role in what was a shorter season for him. But I didn't really like the fact that a lot of those guys seemed to be acting as though he had a bad year last year, which he really didn't. Just not a full one. So that's who we've got on our starting pitchers and in the bullpen. David, I know you're excited about these two. Your hitter for breakout bounce back, and then your rookie, which of course is probably an extra exciting one this year.
I've got Owen Miller as my breakout hitter and Sal Frelick as my breakout rookie. I mean, rookie, you can't really go wrong with anyone. Frelick, Weimer, Turang, Garrett Mitchell, even Robert Gasser, if you want to go the pitching route. So I went with Frelick. I love his contact-oriented approach. He's a pure contact hitter, hit 365 last year in AAA. He'll start back in AAA, but we've covered Frelick plenty on recent episodes. Owen Miller is the one that I want to highlight a little bit more here on today's episode. Last year, he got some playing time with Cleveland, and he got off to a really, really strong start, but he ended up a little bit slower, I guess, 243 batting average, which for a contact guy is not the greatest, especially somebody that was playing first base and DH towards the end of the year, which was, I would say, more by virtue of the Guardians' positional alignment with Jimenez at second and Jose Ramirez at third. But nonetheless, he didn't perform as well as I'm sure he wanted to. But it was also his first time at every day at bats, 130 games. And he held his own, 243 average, 301 on base. But he's hit everywhere he's gone before. 2021 in AAA, hit 297, 489 slugging. In AA in 2019, he hit 290. 2018 in the minors, he hit 336 cross A ball. So this is someone that's hit everywhere he's gone. He's a quality infielder defensively. He's someone that was a very under-the-radar pickup. But I think he's someone that could be a big difference maker. Will he hit 336 like he did in A-ball a couple years ago? No. But I could see him hitting 280 or 290. He's not going to hit a lot of home runs, a lot of extra base hits, but he's going to be a good contact hitter. He's a good Jace Peterson-type player. Maybe instead of the walks, though, he'll hit more singles, which you'll gladly take for your team. A single is better than a walk. So Owen Miller is someone that I'm locked in on as far as being a difference maker. I think he's the kind of guy that'll probably get about 350 at-bats. He's not somebody that's going to play every single day, but he could be a big part of the Brewers' offense.
Yeah, and we haven't really seen a guy like that. I'm trying to think back to who kind of the last pure contact hitter really has been for the Brewers. I mean, sort of Christian Yelich last year.
2011.
Huh? What'd you say?
Morgan in 2011.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's what I mean. We haven't seen a guy like that, and he was super under the radar. It's like he hasn't really garnered much attention, both in the signing or since then. But I'm intrigued to see the offensive production that he can put out, and that would be a nice piece the Brewers could have, even if he hits 280. That's a nice asset to have in the Brewers offense, which I think is underrated. So my pick for rookie, I'm excited probably most for Sal Frelick. I think he has the potential to make a big impact. As far as being an everyday outfielder for the Brewers, a guy I am still excited for to see play and potentially even play on opening day is Bryce Turang. Of course, we just talked about him making the team, and maybe a little bit less, or I should say, a little bit different than Frelick. Not necessarily the same star power We're not expecting him to be necessarily a budding star. But I think he does provide a lot of value for the Brewers. He can positionally, obviously, can move around the diamond a little bit. And like I said, he's not going to be the offensive player that Frelich might be. But he's going to be versatile. He's going to, you know, be a halfway decent hitter. So I'm intrigued to see Turang, both for his flexibility and the Brewers' ability to just move him around, get some at-bats. I hope he gets enough at-bats, though, as a rookie, because that's always something that you worry about for a guy who doesn't necessarily have a position that he's going to start at every single day. And in some ways, it actually ties into my second player here for the Brewers as a hitter. My breakout hitter would be Luis Urias. And that does play a little bit into the playing time that Turang will get. Of course, we've got Brian Anderson. And so it's kind of an interesting mix in the infield. We've got Urias, Brasso, Anderson, Turang, Owen Miller in there as well. And then, of course, Adames Fuhlman, shortstop, and then the two first basemen. So it is kind of interesting to see how they'll navigate that. The one thing I do know is Luis Urias needs to be playing every day. In 2021, he got 570 plate appearances. Last year, only 472 plate appearances. And I think that I'm not necessarily expecting a monster year from Urias, but I think his season last year was really underrated. Like I said, got less at-bats in 2021, slashed .239, .335, .404, 10% above league average offensively. And he'll probably see more time at second base this year as well with the addition of Brian Anderson. So there's the potential that he's perhaps a little bit more comfortable there defensively. Fangraphs has him playing defense a lot better over at second base. And that certainly couldn't hurt the offense as well. So Urias is my pick for the breakout hitter of the year for the Brewers.
Yeah, regardless of where he's playing, he needs to play every day. We saw Jace Peterson get a few too many at-bats in place of Urias down the stretch last year. And Peterson, I mean, he was playing through, I think, a torn UCL. And he faded pretty hard down the stretch. He was a key contributor for the team as a whole, but faded down the stretch. And I think Urias, I mean, he finished really strong last year. He got going with Team Mexico. He didn't have an extremely productive tournament, but he had two key hits. He had a go-ahead single and a big three-run homer in their game against Japan off Roki Sasaki. So that I hope that helped him. I hope that got him a little bit more prepared for the year. And he's someone that I'm looking to break out. And, like, has he already had his breakout? Kind of. I mean, he's a good player. He's halfway in between an average player and an all-star, I would say. Mm-hmm. I think he could be that all-star caliber player this year. But he's still pretty young. He's only 25 or 26. So I think people forget about that as well. But I'm excited to see more of Luis Urias as well.
Yeah. We take for granted the production he had. I mean, in 2018 and 19 with the Padres, he wasn't good. Really didn't get regular playing time until 2019. And then had, of course, the shortened season with the Brewers where he was more or less just a replacement level player at that point. And like you said, 2021 was sort of his breakout year where he was a completely different player. But I think he can put up a year like he did in 2021 with probably better defense, and maybe that gives him a little bit of a boost offensively as well. Not to mention, I think the Brewers have a good offense, so I think that certainly doesn't hurt anytime you've got good hitters around you as well. I think the Brewers' offense is underrated this year. So let's go into our bold predictions. We each have three bold predictions for the 2023 season. I'll start here. Number one, I've got to say it. I know I've got to start. We got to start maximum boldness. Craig Counsell, he's going to finish top three for manager of the year. There's my bold prediction. I'll drop the mic on that one. He's finished, what, top three like five times in the last
years? Yeah, four in the last 5 years.
So you can pretty much guarantee that Craig Counsell will finish top three, but he won't win. I should put a caveat. He will finish second or third in manager of the year. So that jokingly should be my first bold prediction, but I won't spend too much more time on it since I've already spent enough on Urias. But that's actually my first real bold prediction, is that Luis Urias will be the Brewers' best position player, however way you want to measure that. But I think on both sides of the ball, for the most part, Adames has been that player. And not that I expect a big down year from Adames, but I think Urias is going to have a solid year. And I think I could see him being the Brewers' best position player ahead of guys like Adames, Yelich, Rowdy, if you want to throw Winker in there, or even newest Brewer William Contreras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are plenty of guys that you could look at for the title of Brewers best position player. For Brewers best hitter, one of my bold predictions is William Contreras will be the best hitter. I think they'll use him quite a lot as a hitter, but I think it'll be about 130 games split between that catcher and DH. I think he'll play maybe two-thirds of the games catching. Caratini will be behind the plate for some of those. I wonder if the Brewers' plan will be to have Contreras DH against left-handed pitchers, give Winker the day off. Caratini would then catch against lefties. Caratini hits righties a little better, but it's not quite as pronounced of a split as Winker has, say, for righties versus lefties. And that'd be a good way to get a day for Contreras to be off his feet. I think Contreras is going to be the Brewers' best hitter. And, I mean, you might say, well, it's not bold because Contreras was – he would have been the Brewers' best hitter if he put up his numbers last year with the Brewers. But at the same time, I mean, he's young. Last year was his first year where he really broke out. I think he's going to continue that. I think he's going to be close to that hitter. I don't know if he will be quite that hitter again, but I think William Contreras will be the Brewers' best hitter.
Yeah, just a subtle reminder, we gave up Esteury Ruiz mm-hmm. for what could be the best Brewers hitter for the season, which is mm-hmm. pretty nuts. I side note, I'm excited to see Ruiz. He did get the looks like he'll be the starting center fielder in Oakland. I'm excited mm-hmm. to see how many bags he can pile up in Oakland. So that should be fun seeing him.
And they designated Christian Pache for assignment, which was surprising. Top 100 yeah. prospect last year, top 10 prospect 2 years ago. Never hit. I was looking it up, and if he were, because our friend said the Brewers should claim him, he's an outfielder, he's out of options, probably doesn't make the most sense. And I was looking it up, and if he were a Brewers starting pitcher, you would have the third best career OPS on the starting staff. The only problem is he's a center fielder. So I don't know that the bat quite profiles well in Milwaukee.
Yeah. In case you didn't know, Brandon Woodruff did hit a home run in the playoffs against Clayton Kershaw. Yeah. It might have flown under the radar a little bit, but in case you missed that, he did do that. But yeah,
Did Pat Connaughton play baseball? You hear about that
back one? In the day. Yeah, he actually played both at Notre Dame. Yeah.
And was that before or after Clayton Kershaw was Matthew Stafford's center in middle school?
Same time. The exact same moment. Yeah. No, I did see that. And he just doesn't really fit. I mean, you can have a glove for center fielder, obviously. We all know that. But, I mean, he's at a different level as far as offensively. Who was it? Was it Jeff Mathis, the catcher for the Rangers, who was mm-hmm. like put up some of the worst years offensively.
Yeah, I mean he had like a 2 OPS plus, which means that his OPS was about half of the average OPS, which is
code for not good.
Yeah. I mean he caught Greinke, and they had Greinke hit eighth because he was literally a better hitter than Jeff Mathis. So normally they would do that strategically to have the double leadoff, the second leadoff in the nine spot. But no, the pitcher was actually a better hitter in this case.
That's funny. So we talked about Ruiz and his speed. Like I said, I'm curious to see him roaming center field and stealing bags in Oakland. What is your bold prediction? I know you've got one in regards to stolen bases this year.
One of my bold predictions is Garrett Mitchell will steal 40 bases. He would be the first Brewer to do so since Jonathan Villar back in 2016 when he stole 62, which this year is going to be probably a big year for the stolen base. We're seeing rates about as high as we saw in the 80s so far in spring training. So I think that would be exciting. Personally, the stolen base might be my favorite play in baseball. So I'm a big fan. And the Brewers might be at the forefront of that. They haven't stolen a lot of bases in the past couple of years, but they have Mitchell now. They have Turang, who's fast and a pretty good base stealer. Frelick and Weimer both can steal bases. So they've got some guys that can run. Even Yelich, he stole 15 bags last year. I mean, he stole 30 a couple of years back. So the Brewers can steal bases. The Brewers are actually the last team to steal 150 bases in a year. And the last team to steal 250 bases in a year, the former coming in 2016 and the latter in 1992, I think. Yeah. Fun fact, they'll go in place of trivia. So the Brewers could be back on the forefront of the stolen base this year, like they have been in years past. And I think Garrett Mitchell will be at the forefront of the Brewers' forefront of stolen bases, at the forefront of the stolen base movement across MLB.
There we go. There we go. You got it. Yeah, it'll be exciting. I'd say the stolen base is up there. Probably my personal favorite. This sounds like really lame, but the sacrifice fly. The sack fly, runner on third, walk and off that high. Fly. Oh yeah, walk off sack fly. Like, it's there's just nothing that can beat it because of the moment in time where the ball's just hanging in the air, mm-hmm. and that moment that. Yeah, that nothing beats the walk-off sack fly mm-hmm. or a guy getting hosed at the plate. Yeah, that's probably my favorite, but stolen bases are a lot of fun mm-hmm. to see inning by inning. And they also change a lot of strategy as well in regards to do we steal, do we not steal, who's up, who's on deck, all those things. And it makes pitchers think about, too, what pitches to throw, how long they take to get to the home plate, all those things. So that should play into it as well. My final bold prediction here. Is regards to the Brewers offense. I really think the Brewers offense is being slept on because mm-hmm. we don't necessarily have the star power the Cardinals have. We don't have Nolan Arenado. We don't have Paul Goldschmidt. Obviously, the Cardinals have two of those guys. But you look at the Brewers lineup and the depth we have. I'm not going to look at the depth we have beyond the starting lineup, which I think is pretty good. The lineup's going to include William Contreras, Rowdy Tellez most days. Urias, who I talked about, Brian Anderson, who I think is going to have a solid year as well. You've got, of course, still Willy Adames, a guy named Christian Yelich in there, Jesse Winker. And then, not to mention, you've got the likes of Garrett Mitchell, Sal Frelick, Joey Weimer, who knows Jackson Churio, knocking on the door coming up this year. I really think the Brewers' offense is highly underrated. I will say it depends a little bit on the production we get from the rookies, but the Brewers finished kind of middle of the pack offensively, even though it felt like the Brewers' offense wasn't that good. I think the Brewers will finish top 10 in offense across Major League Baseball. Not to mention, the Brewers have a top 3, no questions asked, rotation. I think you could make the case for the best rotation in baseball. So maybe I'm giving a hint at my season preview prediction here. But Brewers have I would say, the best rotation in baseball because I don't think the Mets stand up. I certainly wouldn't take their rotation going into the year over the Brewers given the age and health. So I think the Brewers have the best starting rotation. I think the Brewers offense will be about top 10 in all of baseball. And the bullpen, yeah, the bullpen we don't have the same star power we've had in the last couple of years without Hader or even back to, 18-19 timeframe. But the Brewers always find a way with the bullpen. So it just doesn't really concern me that much. And we still have Devin Williams and Matt Bush at the end of the bullpen, which Devin Williams is still underrated in my opinion. This is like my first year. I'm finally not doubting him going into the season. So there's my vote of confidence on Devin Williams. So that's my thoughts on my final prediction. Brewers offense will be top 10.
Yeah. The other thing is that nowadays people measure offenses by WRC plus or OPS. Typically, I know runs scored is a little bit misleading because everyone plays in a different environment, different ballpark. You score a lot more runs in Colorado or in Milwaukee even than you do in Oakland or Pittsburgh. But one thing that people don't talk about is the base running. The base running impacts your amount of runs scored. So, yeah, I mean, the bigger thing is the hitting. We had a coach back in the day that would say the base running came before the hitting sometimes. But the hitting comes before the base running.
Yep.
You have to hit. You have to get on base in order to be good base runners. But base running matters. I mean, I think that's kind of the separator. I sound like an old school baseball guy, but the base running is going to be a separator, especially I think in the modern game, I guess, if you want to call 2023 the start of a new era of baseball, potentially. We don't know exactly how it'll play out, but possibly a new era of baseball with back to more contact, more steals, balls in play. And the more balls in play, the fewer home runs that you're going to see, it's going to matter more when you go first to third on a single, even aside from just the stolen bases. If you take that extra base on the fly ball, if you're able to score on the ground ball, that's going to matter more. And I think the Brewers are going to be able to do that better than most teams, partly by having young guys coming up and especially fast guys, and then veterans even like Yelich or Adames who are very good base runners. My last bold prediction, though, not about the base running, but it's about the bullpen. You talked about the bullpen, and that is the Brewers finished top 5 in the NL in ERA in the bullpen. I know on paper their bullpen's not the greatest. They've got Devin Williams, Matt Bush, but Gus Varland has zero major league innings. Javi Guerra has 20, 25 major league innings. Piamps, about 1 year of major league success. Bryce Wilson, not really any. That's half the bullpen that really hasn't had any real major league success, or maybe 1 year combined. And then you've got Hobie Milner and Peter Strzelecki, and even there, they each have had about one good year in a major league bullpen. So I understand the doubt, especially from the national media. But the Brewers do always seem to put something together. They always figure it out. They use the first 2 months or so, 2-3 months, to figure out the roles. And then once they do that, then they settle into their roles, and they end up being one of the better bullpens when you look at the end of the year. So I don't really doubt that. The Brewers are really deep in the pen as well. They've got Tyson Miller, who had an excellent spring. They've got Jake Cousins, who's just a year removed from having a 2.7 ERA, and I think he had 54 strikeouts in 36 innings. So he's really good. He's going to start in AAA. Robert Gasser could come up in the bullpen. Ethan Small, maybe. Aaron Ashby, hopefully, will be back by late May, early June. There's Hauser, too. So this is a bullpen that I think is going to surprise some people. Maybe we should have brought on a Cardinals expert to talk about why the Cardinals were going to win the division. The Cardinals have a lot of talent. They really do, especially on the offensive side of things. But the Brewers have a lot going on. I think people were left with a little bit of that sour taste from the aftermath of the Hader trade, and they overlooked the Contreras acquisition in the offseason. They overlooked the Winker acquisition. They're not super keen on the bullpen because on paper it's not that great. They're down on Freddie Peralta. Burns and Woodruff, because they've done it now for a couple of years. It's just, oh yeah, it's Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff, and Burns' arbitration hearing stealing the spotlight. They brought back Wade Miley, who, I mean, 2 years ago he was one of the better pitchers in the National League. They've got some pieces offensively. They don't have the three hitter, like the 3-4 or 2-3. I don't know really where they hit in the lineup. Goldschmidt and Arenado. But also, I mean, the Brewers have three starters better than any of the Cardinals starting pitchers. I'll take Burns, Woodruff, or Peralta over Miles Michaelis, who's probably the Cardinals' best. And even there, the Cardinals are relying on 42-year-old Adam Wainwright. They're relying on Jack Flaherty, who hasn't pitched meaningful innings since 2019. Steven Matz is often injured. So this isn't a Cardinals team, I think, that is the best one that they've run out in years. Probably a regression coming from Arenado and Goldschmidt. So they're a good team, but I think people are sleeping on the Brewers.
Yeah, same here. Let's just jump into our win totals here for the Brewers. We'll go through our predictions for the Brewers win totals, and then we'll also share our predictions for NL East and NL West, and then we'll do a final quick segment at the end, a little over-under deal. So you just shared a lot about why you think the Brewers are better than the Cardinals. So I'm going to make the assumption you have the Brewers winning the division for a lot of the reasons you mentioned. So no need to necessarily rehash there, but what's your prediction, David? Are the Brewers an 86 win team like last year? Are they a 95 win team like the year before, or where are they?
I'm going to go with 89 wins this year. I think that wins the division. This is a division that we know isn't the strongest. I think the Cardinals will finish somewhere in the 85 to 87 wins. I don't think their pitching's going to hold up for a whole year. Wainwright, Matz, Michaelis probably had his best year last year. So I don't think this is a Cardinals team that's as good as they were last year. And also, I mean, there's purely the if you look at it just mathematically, the regression where the Brewers and Cardinals are pretty similar in terms of talent. Most of the projection systems have them pretty similar. I think Baseball Prospectus has Brewers up by a half game, maybe a game. Fangraphs has the Cardinals up by a game or two. And last year, things went the Cardinals' way. The Cardinals ended up winning the division by a few games. The Brewers faded down the stretch. 2 years ago, things really went right for the Brewers, and they won the division by five games. So I think this is the Brewers' year. There's that natural fluctuation. I'm not a big believer in the Cardinals' rotation. I am a believer in a lot of bounce back years from the Brewers. So I think the Brewers are going to take the division this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I've got the Brewers winning 91. I'm even more on the Brewers. I think like I said, reiterating a lot of things I've said, Brewers offense, I think, is getting slept on. I think the Cardinals are a bit overrated because of those two stars in the middle of their lineup. And I think the Brewers have the top rotation in baseball. And like I said, if you combine the top rotation in baseball with, I think, a top 10, at least above average offense, with what I think will be definitely at a minimum of an above average bullpen, you make a good point too. Definitely above average, probably a top 10 base running team, if not better. You combine all those things with Craig Counsell managing the team, with the Brewers' success that they've had. And I say this every year, but the Brewers' team is really built for playoff baseball as well. With we don't have the star power in the middle of the lineup, but we've obviously got the star power in the rotation, which plays big into the playoffs when you get a guy like Burns starting game one and Woodruff potentially starting a game two with a Freddie Peralta in game three. So I think Brewers win the division with 91 wins. You mentioned the NL Central being weaker. Not only that, we talked about this many episodes ago. If you didn't listen to it, really enjoyed the episode. David did a great job breaking down some of the rule changes and how they'll impact the Brewers. So definitely go listen to that episode. But we talked about the NL Central. We don't get to play the Pirates, the Reds, the Cubs as much this year. And so I would expect overall a lower win total win the division. And I've got the Brewers winning the National League Central. I think they'll be in I'm excited to see. Like I said, I think the Brewers are built for playoffs. And I think they'll likely be seeing my pick for the NL East. Not necessarily a hot take, but I think the Braves will win the National League East. Phillies, of course, have some injuries piling up. And the Mets are the Mets. I think the Mets will be good. Those three teams are all excellent teams. Mm-hmm. But I've got the Braves winning the NL East, and I'll take the Padres in the West. I've seen some people still pretty high up on the Dodgers. I don't know if it's just the Dodgers bias. I know their farm system's really good, but I definitely think the Padres are the better team, not to mention Tatis coming back this year. So I think we see Brewers winning the Central, Braves winning the East, and the Padres winning the West. What are your thoughts, David, on the East and the West?
I'd go Braves in the East also. I'm not a big believer in the Mets. Might just be the fact that they are the Mets. They also lost Edwin Diaz, so that's of course a big loss. I think they'll be a good team. I think the Mets are probably the top wild card team. And I like the Phillies, but no Harper for the first half. That's definitely a loss that they'll have injury-wise. So, I mean, they won 87 games last year. They were 87, 88. They were a win or two off from the Brewers in the regular season, but because they went on that magical postseason run, not to take that away from them, but the Brewers could have theoretically gone on a run like that, and the narrative would be a lot different around the Brewers versus the Phillies. So I think the Phillies are the clear third team in that division. I like the Phillies. I hope they succeed, but I think the Braves take that one. I'm going to go with the Dodgers, though, in the NL West. They always have enough depth is the main thing. The Padres, they have the high-end talent, and I mean, they have as much high-end talent as anyone in baseball. They've got Joe Musgrove. They've got Darvish, Juan Soto, of course, Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, Fernando Tatis coming back. Eric Hosmer's gone now. That's always a plus. but I think with the Padres, their rotation, they've got Musgrove, who actually will start on the IL. He'll miss a couple starts. They've got Darvish, but behind them, they've got Nick Martinez, who was really mostly a reliever last year. They've got Jay Groom, who's not really pitched much in the majors. He'll probably get some starts this upcoming year. But they're just not too deep in the rotation. I feel like I'm forgetting at least one guy, one main guy in their rotation. Blake Snell, of course. There you go, Blake Snell. So they have Snell, and then they have Michael Wacha, who was decent last year when healthy, but injured a good amount. Seth Lugo, converted reliever. Nick Martinez, converted reliever. Cole Hamels. They do have him. So I just don't see them being comparable enough to the Dodgers in terms of depth. So I'll go Dodgers in the NL West.
Yeah. I mean, the offense, the star power is unreal. Like you said, Tatis, Machado, all those guys on the Soto. I mean, and Soto's torn the cover off the ball. Fangraphs has him as the best player in all of baseball next year. They definitely have more star power, believe it or not, than the Dodgers. I won't disagree. The Dodgers do have more depth, but maybe this is the year. I think, not to go down too long on the NL West, but I think Tatis is kind of the X factor. not maybe in addition to the rotation for the Padres, but do they get the same Tatis who hit 42 bombs? I mean, they didn't have him last year. So you had a guy who hit 42 home runs in 2021 and back to the team. And if he can do something like that, then I think that, that propels them to the title. So,
and 43-year-old Nelson Cruz.
That's true. That's true. Who will still probably rake because that's what he does.
He didn't last year, but this is probably his last go around.
That's true. So Rougned Odor. Let's close out. What'd you say?
And Rougned Odor.
Oh, yes. Yes. Who will forever be known for one punch. Anyways, over-under. Let's finish out today's episode here. We've got five over-unders. We'll go rapid-fire style here. I'll call it out. You say over-under. I'll say over-under. And then we'll go back after the five and talk through just a couple of these. If there's anybody still listening here to the to our season preview episode here. So let's go number one. Christian Yelich will hit 20 home runs. David, over or under?
Under.
Okay, I'm going to take the under as well on that one. Garrett Mitchell will steal 45 bags.
Over.
I'm going to go under on that one. Jackson Churio will appear in one or more games this year.
Go under on that one.
I will unfortunately take the under on that as well. Pitching side here, Corbin Burnes will finish top three for National League Cy Young Award.
Oh, over? Yes.
Fact or fiction, I guess.
Yeah, we'll go fact. I think he finishes second. That's my prediction.
All right. I'll go fiction on that one. And finally, Devin Williams will win NL Reliever of the Year. Fact or fiction?
Fiction. It'll be Hobie Milner.
There we go. Hobie Milner. And I've got fact. I'm big on Devin Williams this year. So Yelich hitting 20 bombs. Fangraphs has Yelich with some increased power this year. You shared a little bit, David, that his underlying stats have been maybe a little bit better than we've seen production-wise. So I think I'm intrigued to at least see what kind of power Yelich has, not to go down that long rabbit hole. And you obviously talked about Garrett Mitchell's ability to run, to steal bags, and that'll only, of course, be helped this year. And then Jackson Churio, who's kind of down the line as far as outfield prospects in regards to when we think we'll see them, but still has the potential. I mean, if we look at the ridiculous jump he had last year, it's not unheard of or unthinkable, I should say, to see him on the field this year. It would be a ridiculous run if he did so. And if the Brewers didn't have the outfield depth in AAA and these prospects coming up, I could say that, yeah, maybe we do see him, but with so much with that depth, I find it hard to believe that Frelick, Weimer, Mitchell, none of those guys hit and they end up bringing up Churio this year. But I do think that it's likely we probably see him next year. Is that fair?
I think so. That'd be my assessment.
Yeah. And then Corbin Burnes finishing top three for National League Cy Young. I feel like that's become par for the course now, which is just ridiculous.
Last year?
I don't believe so. I don't believe he was. I don't think he was a finalist, if I'm not mistaken, but I think he probably finished around top five.
Finished seventh.
Seventh, okay. Which, he should have been better than seventh. He was better than the seventh best pitcher in the National League, no question to me. And then, like I said, I think Devin Williams will have a good year this year. He's already looked good in the World Baseball Classic. He's way more established, and he's now got that closer role full time. So I'm excited to see him. I think he'll be really good. I think he'll be the anchor the Brewers need at the back end of the bullpen. So I'm excited. This has been a fun episode. This has got me excited. I'm excited to get to a game here shortly and get back to American Family Field in the 40 degree temperatures and enjoy some April baseball.
The 40 degree temperatures. What is it? County Stadium?
40 degrees on the walk-in, sorry. There you go. 40 degrees on the walk-in. That's true.
I hope you're able
true.
To no more. That, you and your 24-year-old body, walking in 40 degrees for 7.4 minutes and standing in line for, 1.3 minutes while the security yells, if you don't have a bag, go to this line, whatever they yell every time.
And now it's like nobody has a bag because they don't let you bring anything into the... Gone are the days where we can bring in, where you can have the couple bring it in. And I'm sorry if this is you listening. It was actually pretty entertaining. Like the people who would like pack a full on like picnic at the Brewer game. Like you had the guy next to you who like has like a sandwich, a salad, brings like a side of soup and some chips, and just lounges back and has a picnic from home. That gone are the days. Mm-hmm. Gone are the days.
Now you have to buy your Friday night fish fries at the ballpark.
That's true. That's true. All right, David. So we have made it to our the end of our season preview. And like I said, had a lot of fun here. David, 89 wins for the Brewers and the National League Central Championship. I've got 91 wins for the Brewers, telling you that offense is underrated. And I'm excited. It's going to be a good season. We're going to have you covered here. We're going to have a blast doing it as well. So with that, like I said, we'll be back one more time here, I believe, before opening day. But it'll be right upon us. And as always, this is Peter and David Go signing off. Go Brewers. And as always, I was incorrect here. Brewers opening day coming to you Thursday. We will not be recording another podcast before opening day. So cheers. Enjoy the time at American Family Field. We'll have you back after opening day. Apparently, I've got to get better with scheduling on David. So cheers to you, all the Brewers fans. We'll see you at American Family Field this year. And now, as always, this is Peter and David Go signing off. David, go Brewers.
Thank you for listening to the Barrel Banter. We'd appreciate it if you leave a comment or review so we can get the word out about our show. To hear more, find us on YouTube at The Barrel or on Twitter at The Barrel MKE. We look forward to connecting with you next time. We'll be right back.